Women's Year in Chavis Halvada Shar HaBitachon, Wednesday, Yud Kislev, Wednesday, Yud Kislev, Shar Chavis Halvada's Women's Year Shar HaBitachon. Okay, Chavis Halvada's Shar HaBitachon, towards the end of Perek Gimel, he's talking about Tzadik Viralo Rosh of Atovlo, because that's in the flow of what he's talking about. He was talking about Hishtadlus and why HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goals there, that we do Hishtadlus, and therefore he said logically, as a person progresses in life, in his Avodas Hashem, he should require less and less Hishtadlus, and that would be true, but why does it happen all too often that it's not the case? So he goes into Tzadik Baralo and Rosh Avotovlo, and he gives a few reasons why that is the Hanhogas Hashem sometimes. And we're in the middle, actually in the beginning, we were in Rosh Avotovlo, we did Tzadik Baralo, he gave his reasons. Rosh Avotovlo he gave one reason because he did some mitzvahs in Olam Hazeh, and he's getting schar for them, and we discussed last week why that's fair, why that's just. We're up to the second reason. See, again, he's focused in terms of money, in terms of parnosa, in terms of just being comfortable. So sometimes it's a pikadon for a child, for the next door. It doesn't have to be for the next door, it could be for his employees, right? He's running a business. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the business successful because the employees deserve to have a job and to have parnasa. And so it looks like he's successful, but really he's just a conduit and he's just a channel for other people to have good things. Maybe even the family, maybe the wife, maybe the child, maybe employees. Sometimes he has it good because it's a pikadon for others. Again, it doesn't have to be a child, but that's what he's talking about, a son. This is the Gemara says this is talking about Mordechai HaTzadik, because as we know, Haman, Haman was very successful and was on top of the world, and it was really a preparation for Mordechai to take over everything, and he would have all those things that accrued to Haman. That's the Gemara says this pasuk is talking about that, but the pasuk itself just says v'lachote nosan inyan. He gave him the ability, the opportunity. Leso v'lichnos losis l'tov l'fnei ha'alokim. So the Lord is learning in order to give it to someone who is Tov Lefnei Alokim. So. Then reason number three. The Efshar, this is reason number three. You see someone rich and you say, wow, that's great. Meanwhile, he has security systems and you can't get into his house or pushing 10 buttons. And he's afraid of being kidnapped. And he doesn't have a relationship with his wife or his children because he's so busy in his business. So we look at someone as gliklach, but there's no glick in his life at all. Maybe he has ulcers. Maybe he's nervous. Like I said, he's nervous about kidnapping. He's nervous about competitors finding out his secrets. And it's not good. And this is the pasuk in Kohel. Right? President Kennedy was on top of the world. He was elected president. But if you would have told him that if you're going to be elected president, so you're going to be shot dead in a year and a half, in 2 years, whatever it was, so he wouldn't have been so happy when he was celebrating that he was elected president. So good things could be a siba for bad. So don't be so quick to judge by the superficial, but a superficiality. It's not necessarily Tovlo. You say Rosh of a Tovlo, maybe it's not Tovlo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a master plan. So that's another reason. Could be it's causing him nothing but grief. Right? Kamosha Kosov Osher Shomer Olav Lira also. That's a pasuk in Kohelas. Reason number four, a possibility. Number four, Vevsha Shatiya Lahara Chabori Yisalalo Ache Yashuv. Sometimes Adarabi, he's a good person. You have all of these reasons. He could be a good person and there's enough good in him, meaning, a good person meaning there's enough good in him that there's a possibility of tshuva. Not everybody's like Paro, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away his Bechira and didn't allow for the possibility of tshuva. Sometimes we have Menashe, V'yeh Royal, Kamosh Yadat Minya Menashe. Menashe was a horrible, horrible, wicked Rasha, but he did tshuva. He did tshuva, some say at the end of his years, some say in the middle of his years. He did tshuva, so he had wealth, and the wealth was for him to enjoy when he was transformed. So it's an inyan of Erech Hapayim. It's an inyan of Erech Hapayim. Yeah. Of what?
Of leaders, like,
can he? He can do anything.
But
he, I don't know. I'm not his accountant. I don't know. The Rambam says that Hashem takes away sometimes the bechira of a rasha to take away the possibility of tshuva. That's the Rambam. Sometimes. When does he? When doesn't he? We don't know. There's an assumption that Lev Malachim is more, but that it's not. It's very unclear if he doesn't have any bechira. There are no clear guidelines there. I'm not aware of anyone that gives clear guidelines if they have no bechira, some bechira, a little bechira. It's not clear. I don't know. Okay, v'yeshatiyah lechesed. Maybe he is eating the fruits of his father was a tzaddik, or his predecessor. So again, you're looking at Rosh Avotovlo, but it's a schar for his great grandfather, who was Moser Nefesh in Russia to keep Torah and mitzvahs. And he has nothing but aggravation that his grandchild, great grandchild, is not from. But meanwhile, the grandchild has it good because it's a schar for the father, for the great grandfather. V'yeshatiyah l'chesed shekodam ovi v'haroi, and it's appropriate, Hashem decides it's appropriate, l'heitev l'bno ba'avuro, Moshe Amar l'yehu ben-nimshi. What was his char? That for four generations they would be kings over Israel. So that means that even if the third generation didn't necessarily deserve it, but that's part of his char. The person, they say, this is going to stay in your family, the Malchus will stay in your family for three, four generations. Bnei Riveim Yeshu Lechal Kisa Yisrael V'Omar Apostle Gid Mishle Mishalech B'tumo Tzadik Ashrei Bono Vachrav. The children reap the benefit of a person's sitkus. V'Omar Nara Yisi Gam Zakanti V'lo Reisi Tzadik Nezov V'Zayro Mavakech Lokim. So there's a spillover effect to the children. So you might be looking at a spillover effect from an earlier Tzadik. Okay, number six, possibility number six, the Yesh. Possibility number six is fascinating, really, because it shows you how we're very, very human. We really shouldn't even deign to question Hashem's ways. Number six is it could be V'yeshatil the Nasos Anshe Hatarmis V'hamitzponim Haroim. I have another saying like this. He says there's a lot of people out there who are good people, they're acting good. But, you know, Chavis Lubavitch cares about the lathe. And he says, in the lathe, they're not good. But they want to see which way the wind blows. So meanwhile, it's very geschmack to be a tzaddik, to be a good person, to daven, and to learn, because it gives you a good social life. It gives you friends, and it's very nice. People, it's very geschmack to be a from Jew. Have a good life. Especially they open all these kosher supermarkets, so you're not missing anything now. Maybe you're not even missing out on a cheeseburger you could have with tofu, probably. You're not missing anything. It's very geschmack. But when this person's, but he's not a good person at heart. Really, he is. There's a word for it, grounded now by the in the world, that he practices what they call orthodoxy, but he has no emunah. He really is not. Not holding by anything. And according to the Chavis Halbavitch, that's horrible and terrible. That's really tragic. And he's not really doing mitzvahs because he doesn't believe in Hashem.
should be at least also for Leva Nishmas or Bar Yalev Halevi ben Rav Chaim Yitzchak. Okay. So Hashem, you know, he wants to put people to the test. He wants to give a test. And so all of a sudden, it's see, Hashem has a very, very large computer. So a Rasha will have it good, and the purpose will be to test others. When they see the Rasha has it good and the Tzaddik has it good, they say, hey, what do I need this for? And they quickly shed their chitzoniyistic ideals. They become not such good people. But and so Hashem is testing them. So again, all sorts of cheshbonos, and everything is deserved, and everything is becheshben, and no one gets what he doesn't deserve, and no one, everything is. So here, I mean, you can have a rush of a tovlo, and the reason is as a means of testing others. Hashem is using it to test the people who are only good Jews as long as it suits them, and but they really have no emunah, believe. So they're outed by the rush of a tovlo, because they say, what do I need this for? So you thought your neighbor was a very nice, right, a very nice Jew and a very wonderful person, and then all of a sudden things are tough, and so then he says, oh yeah, I'm you know, and then he starts acting a certain way because that's the way the wind is blowing then. So that might be Hashem's cheshbon. That's a reason for Rosh of a tovlo. The yeshatil the nasos anshei hatarmis, the phonies, the hamitzpunim horoim, people that are not good inside their lathe. Kishayim roim zeh, when they see the Rosh of a tovlo, mamaharim loser miavodas habore, they shed their outer appearances. V'choshem lehisratzos al anshei haresha, and they, you know, now this person's in power and he's talking badly and he's doing bad things, and all of a sudden they want to join up with him because they want to be part of that action. So then you see the true colors. V'lulmod mima'aseihem v'yizbor adover lelokim. Not that Hashem ever needs a birur, but that's what a nisayon always is. It brings out b'poyel what you are. V'yira, and Hashem will see, so to speak, ha'nemon ba'avodoso b'simlo eisa sholtenbo, when things are not pleasant, u'mavayshin also, and good people are being ripped apart. Nowadays, let's see, in the media, good people are being accused of all sorts of horrible, horrible, horrible things. So some people who do what they do b'shitchiyus, superficially, so they say, yeah, me too, I attack it, terrible, terrible. And then, but the good people, you know, they hunker down and they just be quiet and they wait for that gal of sinner to be over. The yikabel socher me'abor yisala, and they'll get their schar because they're maintaining their emunah and their true avodas Hashem in the face of, right, in the face of difficulty, right? Very yishmak. You know, when things are going well, so yeah, why not learn, and why not have this kind of school, and why not have this, and then everything's fine. But then when things take a turn, and now all of a sudden it's not so pleasant, just to put it on a different level, so it's not to people shouldn't think I mean anything in particular. You know, so on a different level, let's say you'll have a Jewish person in Washington D.C. who's you know, so when things are going well and the Jews win the Six-Day War and everybody wants to be friends with a Jew, so he wears a mezuzah around his neck and he's and he's very proud to be Jewish and he boasts everybody how he's Jewish. But then you have, like, then there comes a time when, you know, when Jews are looked at as half traitors to the American government, which is not so long in coming, and there are a few people that suffered from that already. accusations of double loyalty. So then they hope no one finds out they're Jewish. So then you see, are you really proud of being Jewish or not? So it's a nisayon for the people who are not tocho kabaro, who are not obed Hashem belev, and when the wind's blowing a certain way, so why not? Gishmak. But when it's difficult and there's nisyonos and they see Rosh Hashanah and Tzadik Viralo, then they quickly shed the chitzonius because they say, what do I need this for? But the true people, the faithful people, the loyal people, they don't sway with the wind. Just because the wind is blowing a certain way, they quickly change their shittos, but they remain steadfast, even in the face of busha, they mevayish them. And nowadays, it's very easy. You hire a publicist, and you go within 2 days, the publicist manipulates the media and social media, and all of a sudden, there's like a million people screaming how terrible Orthodox Jews are, or yeshiva people are, or Torah people are, or how terrible this person is, and all of a sudden there's like a million people that know about it, because you click like, and all of a sudden another million people know about it, and it's terrible. We're living in a world that's so suffused with Lashon Hara, and Rechilus, and Sheker, and you can't escape it. That's why my understanding, what I'm about to say is only my understanding. I'm not privy to any specific decision. This is the way I understand it. The Gedolim, Steinman and others, we can't be kanoim. We have to be very careful before you show any kanos, even though it's a wonderful meter kanos, and you're supposed to be a kanoim. Kanos means to be a zealot, and to do, fanatic has a bad connotation. But, Barry Goldwater said, fanaticism in the defense of liberty is no vice. Anybody know who Barry Goldwater is? Okay. Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice, and moderation, for whatever, is no virtue. Forgot the exact memory. But they got him good, right? They made him into a meshugana, and... Anyway, nowadays, so the Gedolim's, we're living in a world of, and we're always living in an Olam HaSheker, but the Sheker nowadays travels from one end of the world with the click of a button. And so anything you do, you know, you're causing Chilul Hashem, unfortunately, instead of Kiddush Hashem. It's very difficult. Obviously not anything. I made a bracha this morning. I mean, if you stand up and you come out forcefully, so then you might be causing, when that would be the right thing to do, and the Gemara speaks of being forceful and being az kanomer and being aggressive. Nowadays you have to weigh your actions very carefully. Anything like with the women of the wall, if you try to be aggressive, which maybe is the right thing to do objectively and based on Jewish sources, maybe it's correct to be aggressive against them. But nowadays, you can't win. You just cause you think you're causing Kiddush Hashem, but the forces of Sheker are so overpowering that you have to tread very, very carefully, and you have to be, because you might cause Chilul Hashem. It's very sad. You do the right thing, and you might cause Chilul Hashem. So you have to be very, very careful and judicious, and that's why the Gedolim don't encourage kanos, which according to our sources should be called for and would be called for, but they recognize that these things are not objective mitzvahs. There's no red lines involved. It's a question of being wise and knowing what to do. We're not talking about Chas V'Sholom doing an Aveira, Chas V'Sholom. You can't let no matter what. But up till that point, up till that red line, so the sheker is just overwhelming. But that, this is what the Chazal is talking about. The reason it might, so like Loma Derech Hashanah, this is what the Navi cries. Why are the bad people having such success? So it brings out of the woodworks people's inner feelings, their loyalty to Hashem. And maybe they're not so sure, and it's just a convenience, or it's just gishmak, and it just puts them ahead, and it gives them a certain social standing, and now when the social standing shifts, and all of a sudden, you're Haredi, oh, you spit at little girls. So then you say, oh, no, I'm a Chasson, I'm a Haredi. And so it's a test, and you have to show your loyalty to Hashem. So that's many times why, no, no, it doesn't say many times, that's one of the reasons why things go well many times, why things go well for Rishon. One of the reasons. So he gave six reasons. Yirmiyahu did not have an easy life. Yirmiyahu was thrown into jail and sat in jail. And jail then wasn't, there was no color TV in their jails and no internet. He was thrown into a pit. And if not for someone bringing him food, he would have starved to death. And hey, I'm Yirmiyahu. Like, what's going on? So he withstood the test of loyalty. Eliyahu with Izabel, you know, he had a stand up, and he had a, so you have to, it tests your mettle, M-E-T-T-L-E, tests your mettle. So sometimes that's what's going on. And now we're going back to what's it called? Oh, Bitachon, yes. Now we're going back to Bitachon. He gave this segue about Tzadik Ra'al and Rosh HaVatavlo. Now he's coming back to Bitachon. He's in the middle of discussing. Perek Gimel gives five premises that will, you have to be convinced of these five things in order to develop Bitachon. The development of Bitachon is, Bitachon is Bitachon, as we talk about, relying on Hashem. That's what Bitachon is. And you can't pay lip service to it. It has to be real, which is rather number two of the five. That Hashem knows your innermost thoughts. But so number five was to maintain, to realize the role that Hashtadlus plays, and to realize that nothing's happening because of your Hashtadlus. Although, I want to qualify that last sentence. Things might be happening because of your Hishtadlus, but not in the way that we think of it. We think of it, I open the store, I'll make money. If I open the store, I won't make money. No, that's not true. But what might be happening, and often is what's happening, and we have to train ourselves to think this way. Hashem wants us to do Hishtadlus. This is the Ratzon Hashem. So if you don't do your Hishtadlus, you're violating the Ratzon Hashem. So you can't expect Hashem to provide if you don't do the Ratzon Hashem. Now, if you're on a Madrega of Bitachon where you could minimize your Hishtadlus, that's wonderful. Maybe even once in a while, you know, how do you grow in something? You try to climb to a Madrega you're not really on yet, because that's how you like lift yourself up by your bootstraps. So that should be done very, very carefully and very, very rarely. Most of the time you should just develop where you're holding, and you'll grow as you dive in, as you think about these five things. And let's not forget that the first of the five has seven parts to it. So you think about these things and you will grow. Your neshama will grow. If you, sometimes you should say them, you know, no one's around, but you say them. And you say, do I really believe this? And you think about it, and you're walking in the street, and you say, do I really believe that Hashem loves me? Do I really believe Hashem is always a maker? Do I really believe that no power in the world can do anything to me? And you say, so So in that sense, it's possible that lack of ishtadlus affects the result, but not in the way we think, but rather because it's like you did an avera. It's almost like you did an avera. And this is an easy trap to fall into, because then we could, because of it. Nobody knows what's in my heart, so I say, oh, it's ishtadlus, ishtadlus. And you hear people, like everything they do, they just claim on poor Mr. Ishtadlus. And they go, yeah, Ishtadlus has ishtadlus. What are you doing there for? What are you talking about? Oh, it's ishtadlus. So you have to find that balance. But a component, so that's what he said. You have to find, you have to understand that ishtadlus is the Ratzon Hashem, but it really, it's a mirage. It's a mirage and an illusion that it affects the result. It might be the channel for the result, because Hashem doesn't send, you don't wake up one morning and there's money in your account. So it might be the channel. But the channel means just the channel. It's not the sibah, it's not the cause. It's not really cause and effect. So now the Chavis HaLevi says, okay, so how do I pick a perception? How do I pick, again, the Chavis HaLevi says in almost the entire Sefer, his idea, really this is involved in health and relationships. And the Chavis always talks about money and parnasa and making ends meet and paying for things and, you know, being able to put bread on the table, take it almost like a lechel, shelter, talks about these things. So he says, V'chimit shevar achiv al gilgal al asikus al b'nei adam. So now that we explain how to view your obligation to create the channels through which Hashem's din is channeled, Nevor Atla, so now we have to explain, how do you pick the channel? He ain't called Odom Chayiv Lachzor al kol sibah misibus haterech. You have to do everything from A to Z, from astronaut to zoologist. You're not going to do, okay, I'll do this week and that week. I'm just creating the channel for Hashem to send me parnasa. Ki asibus rabbles. There's so many channels out there. And look around. But people have so many professions out there. There's so many things to do that earn money. Mehem kalos, some are easier. Shetirchen ma'at. Kishkorah b'chados. In his world, that was the easy. You sat and you sold things in the store. Omeleches yad. And you sold. Needle point, Shatircha Ma'at, Ketfira, Uki Ichli, Bahasafrus, the Itzur Hamaschorim, you store Schaira, Uschar Arizan Bapalin, you're a manager, very Gishmak to be a manager, Mashamoshim Babodas Adami, let them do the work and you manage. Umehem Sibus Yesh Benigia Batarach, and then there's reason, there's things that, you're going to do Havalah, you're going to be a mover, Kibud Oros, Tanning High, Votsas HaBarzel, Miners, M-I-N-E-R-S, Votsas HaBarzel, Vanachoshes, Vahoferes, Ben Motsayim, work in the coal mines, the Zika Kakeset Vahoferes, the Nisil HaMasas HaKvedas, carrying things, porters, unless it's Bedrachim Rechokim Tamid, and you have to travel, you're a captain of a ship, or you're a sailor. Avodas v'adomer b'charishosa, just a farmer, very, very hard work. Okay, also bad. Why would I need, if I really believe this? So he said, what do I pick? Umishahu mibnei adam chazak b'gufo. He says, first of all, this is how you pick a profession. He says, first of all, he's going to end up saying three things. Really, two mispatzel, and it becomes one of them. I mean, mispatzel becomes two, so it's really three. The first step is to see what you cut out for. If you have a head for numbers, yes, become an accountant. If you don't have a head for numbers, if you're a man of 240 pounds, so maybe you should think of going and moving. Becoming a mover, or a handback, or a fullback in the National Football League. Yeah. But if the guy who failed fourth grade math and is built like a tank, he decides to become an accountant,
and the 98-pound weakling with the head from there decides to go into a home alone. That makes no sense. He says, first of all, Hashem made you cut out to do certain things. So that's okay. That's step one. What are you cut out for? What do you have an aptitude for? Don't go to the job counselor, he's saying, to see which profession earns more money. That's a waste. You can go to a job counselor if you think that this does not earn anyone that does it a parnasa. This is like Bittel's mind. So maybe they're good for that, even in the Chavos' world of Bittachon. But you should be going and take an aptitude test. What am I cut out for? Am I cut out for math? Am I cut out for analytical reasoning? Am I cut out for graphics? If you don't know, I'm saying, really, he's talking that the person knows. They didn't have such wonderful things in his days like aptitude tests. People knew themselves. They were in touch with themselves. Now we're too busy texting. Mishu b'bnayodam chazak b'gufo. Someone who's that built like a tank, Macholosh Pakaraso, that's a nice way of saying that he maybe doesn't have the cerebral kalin that other people have. Roy Lomahan Mashman idea. So that's your first way of knowing. So don't pick a job that, you know, you come out for that you have to go to the shipping department in Oxford and say, okay, I want a job here. Right? And the whole day you spend filling orders, doesn't take that much seichel. You have the order sheet, and you go to the shelf, and it's all numbered, and you pack, and the whole day you spend packing boxes and putting it on the UPS truck. Kivisha yochol lisbol, as much as your body can take. Umishu cholish begufo, like someone who's weak, Bakaroso Chazoka, but he's analytical and he's smart and he's sharp. Don't become a mover. His yesod is he's giving us guidance. This is the real John guidance. I was on the understand the paragimel. This is let's look at the whole picture, because he's gonna say three things. He says, don't look at how much money is this gonna make me? You know, you're going to make as much money as Hashem says you're going to make. The hishtaglus you do is only, he will say in Perek Dalet, that it looks like for the average person this is a normal way to earn money to stay at the poverty. You know, you don't sink below what we call the poverty line. You know, people make problems with this. So that's your histadlos of money is only to see its proper histadlos, which is, you know, you're not going to, you say, you talk to people and you say, I want to open such a business, and they say, well, the last 20 people I know that opened that business failed within a month, and there's just no market for that type of thing here. So then it would not be histadlos, it would not be proper to say, well, I have to go home, I'm going to open that. If the statistics show that there's no market for it, then it's not proper to tell us. Give examples yourself. There's no market here for that service. So how do you pick a profession? So step one is see what you cut out for. Intellectually, physically, what do you cut out for? That's number one. Umishu cholesh b'gubo. Pick something that you know, like you sit by a computer all day and you, right? So you don't have to work hard, or at least you don't have to work physically hard. Then he says, number two, he says, and this is a heaven sent instinct. And he talks about, he will compare it to animals' instinct. How they get food, right? You see an amazing thing. You can get books about how every animal has its food source. And it's amazing. And every animal has its instinct, and they find it in the weirdest places. Yeah, if you saw what the shul puts out now, right? The dragon, the sea dragon, the thing we put out, it gets its food in an amazing way. So he says, a person has an instinct that type of instinct too. And that instinct as a person is what he enjoys doing. And it's not irrational many times. It's an instinct. You say what gives me job satisfaction? You can call it job satisfaction. You don't know yet because you didn't do it yet. But it's something I enjoy. Something. So number one is I'm cut out for it, whether it's intellectually, emotionally, physically, I'm cut out for that. And number two is I enjoy that. I enjoy this line of work. And he says, that's Hashem that's talking to you. When you have a netiya, when you say, I enjoy music, I enjoy working with people, I enjoy teaching, I enjoy, that is, if that's true, if you're not kidding yourself, and really you think it's going to make a lot of money, that's what you enjoy. But if you're serious and sincere, so that's number two. That's your second way of picking something. Well, the chol adam, every person, says the Chayyim HaZalbalos, Yesh Chayfetz has a desire, has a netiya. B'malacha oschara mibilti zulasa. Almost exclusive. I mean, sometimes you can have a desire to do one or two things. But the person has a netiya, he enjoys doing that. And that's from Hashem. Hashem planted that in you. Now you say, no he didn't, but I grew up and there was always music playing in the house. Well, who did that? It's also Hashem, right? Hashem has his ways of making you enjoy different things. It could have been when you were growing up, you had this fantastic teacher, or you met someone that made an unbelievable impact on you, and she was a social worker, and you say, I want to do that too, I want to help people. Or anything you A, have an atiyah for, and B, enjoy doing. B'chein b'shar achayim, he says that is the instinct, what you enjoy, and there's really no rhyme and reason for it. It's from a place deep inside yourself. It's from your neshama. Your neshama is talking to you, and he compares it to the instinct Hashem gave different animals, how they get their food. The eagle, I guess, catch snakes. They capture fish. They have an instinct to eat this kind of food, this kind of herbage, the carnivores, everything. Hashem has a whole world out there, and everything has to be balanced and fit, so he works it out. Hutva olav liosibel amazon. So that's the animal's source of food. Utchunas gufo veivor real davarahu. Right, because this one has a long beak. I mean, if you study these things, you see it. So the scientists, Afrila Pomayo, they have it backwards. They say this animal decided to get food here, so over 2 billion years it developed a long beak. And the Chavis Havadis is saying, no, you have it wrong. Hashem gave this animal an instinct to eat these kind of fish, so he gave it a long beak to enable it to do it. The lion has ferocious teeth and ferocious nails. The horns, and so that's carnivores. But the animals that just eat plant life, they don't have horns and very rough teeth and very rough nails. So that's Hashem's doing. Lo mikalo kli hatzayin ba'aterech. Well, adimyon hazeh, comparing to that, tinsom midos b'nei odom v'gufosom muchanos. Some people are cut out and have a desire for certain types of melachos. U'mishemotze b'midoso v'tivo. Someone who instinctively feels drawn, kosef, he desires. El melacho me'amelachos. That was number one. Right? If you have a desire to be a mover and you're a 98-pound weakling, so you gotta think this through. So it says if you're fit for it, that was number one. And if you desire it, you have a cheshek for it, that's number two. B'yuchal lizbol estircha. Go for it, he says. And have bitachon, that you'll earn your parnasa that way. Because the parnasa is not coming from that anyway. Parnasa is coming from Hashem. You just check, I'm saying this, he doesn't, but you just check it's a normal channel, and then go for it. Do what you desire. Yatsurlev, Yosemois, the sequel of hope, make that the channel for your parnasa, the yisbol, and don't quit after 2 weeks. I didn't know the boss would make me work. if you pass these tests, if these things are true, then he says, stick it out. Don't quit after a week or after 2 weeks. The yisbol miska, the sweetness of the word umari rusa, and there'll be times when you wish you wouldn't have picked this. But he's telling us, like, yeah, this is what the criteria, and stick with it. So don't get disgusted if a month or a few months go by and you didn't earn parnasa, you say, okay, I'm going to try something else now. Now, does this mean a person should never change jobs? No, it doesn't mean never, because you never say never. And again, Hashem could have other plans for the person. At what point do you change job? Because Hashem really wants you to be in something else, because of Christ, whatever the ramifications may be. There's no answer. I can't give you an answer. You just have to make sure, and this is a very important episode, you just have to make sure you're not switching jobs because of a lack of bitachon. If it's not working, and now you don't enjoy what you're doing, or maybe it's not the right ishtadlus, it doesn't go, or you have an annoying boss, or your heart's not in it anymore, you wake up in the morning. You make sure though it's not a chisor and bitachon. You follow the chayus halavos, tried and true formula. You're cut out to do it, and you enjoy doing it. You want to do it. You have an atiyah to do it, and you're cut out for it. Those, and then have bitachon, and don't look for something else because it's not going well for a few months. It's not the job. The job is not going to help you. It's not going to help. Again, so at what point do you try something else, and why will that work? There could be a lot of reasons. It could be Hashem is pushing you. Hashem is pushing you to do something else because you have heretofore unknown kochos, and he wants you to meet a different group of people. There's a big world out there, and Hashem has different chesedim. Hashem is pushing you, but you don't know that Hashem is pushing you. People say to a rabbi, I'm a little weird. Is Hashem pushing me, or is my yitzhara pushing me? And they expect me to have an answer, and I say, I haven't the slightest idea. But you examine yourself. That's why you need the koach of retrospection, being retrospective, and you have to just make sure it's just not a pure chisaron b'tachon. You say, Parnosa comes from the job, and this is not working, so I'm going to try something else. That's not a kosher thought. It's a very hard thought not to have. And sometimes, like that, there's something that could be true that it's not proper establishment or something, or whatever. It could be you're sick of it already. It's not going. My son quit a job. My son in America quit a job because I don't know if he was right. He didn't discuss it with me. It wouldn't advance past a certain point. There was no room to grow. So he would always be whatever he was, and he didn't see any room for growth. And he wanted to, grow and shine, you would call it. And so he switched jobs. And it was a lack of bitachon. I don't know. He didn't discuss it with me, so I really can't tell you. It was a lack of bitachon or a lack of personal fulfillment. He felt stymied, and he wanted to grow. I mean, it wasn't spiritual growth. It was growth in whatever he was doing. But he right away hit a glass ceiling, or whatever you call it. It wasn't going to advance. there was no room for advance, it wasn't set up to advance. And so he went to something else where he saw that wind. So that's a reason. That's a kosher reason. If it wasn't a chesed and bitachon, I need more money. I need more money. That's not good. But if he lost his feeling of gishmak, he lost his job satisfaction because he had a hollow in his neshama. He wanted to advance. It wasn't even spiritual, but that's a kosher feeling. Because the Lotus wants you to have job satisfaction, wants you to enjoy what you're doing. V'chavein b'tirdas libo b'gufo b'sibo min asibos v'asibo v'aleo. And as you're, yeah, this one's right, let's, you're free to go. I don't want to rush through this, this is so important. Maybe I will stop here. I give up on Mincha already, but I don't want to rush through it. It's very, very important for souls. The third factor will be that you're making a positive contribution to the world. I'll even let you call it Tikkun Olam, much as I hate the word. But that's what he says. That's the third factor, is that you're making a positive contribution to the world. Which could be in anything. It could be in anything. It doesn't have to be that you're going around being Makar Vachalkin. He's talking about building bridges, real estate, anything. But it's really a positive contribution to civilization. Right? That's the third thing.